Hey beautiful people, you are listening to Limitless Faith Life Growth, the podcast dedicated to growing together in the Lord as young people of our generation. I'm your host, Ifeanyi Morenike, and each week we tackle topics which help us navigate this Christian walk and be the best version of ourselves that God has called us to be. Let's get into it, guys. Hey beautiful people, so we're here again with another episode. First off, happy new month, happy December, happy end of 2023. We thank God for the journey so far. Secondly, I'm sure some may be wondering what happened last week. Why was there no episode? Of course, you guys know I would never do that intentionally, but there was an issue with recording spaces. I thank God I'm getting the opportunity to record now, but there was just a lot back and forth and it was very frustrating. I'm not going to come here and rant. So instead of ranting, I'm just going to give God the glory because I know God wants me to do this podcast. I know he's doing something with this podcast, but I also know that Satan is not happy with me and he does not want this podcast to progress. And he doesn't like the fact that I've been very consistent. And I give all glory to God that since I've started this podcast, I think it's only once I've ever taken an impromptu break and that was during exams. Apart from that, I am always very consistent. If I do take a break, then I'll let you guys know that, okay, I'm going on a break, you know, for season two or whatever. But I know Satan is fighting and I know he's trying to frustrate me. And I'm telling him now, Satan, you have failed. Okay, you have failed. So that's your business, what you want to try and do. This podcast will flourish. And I can tell it's flourishing. Why, you guys, I have been so overwhelmed with joy and just gratefulness to God and to the people that he has brought to Limitless and the community he's creating. You guys have been so supportive. You guys are sending in your Spotify rap and I'm seeing, you know, top five podcasts. I'm seeing, you know, the statistics and the way everyone is just really celebrating the podcast and consuming the content and being consistent in listening. God bless you. And I'm so grateful. You are the reason that Limitless is moving forward. God is using you. And I'm so grateful to God for just an amazing set of people who are making up the Limitless community. I really want to do something like that. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know how, but I really want to build a community of young believers supporting each other, growing together in the Lord beyond just the podcast. But that's just a thought that I've been having and I haven't really, you know, gone to the drawing board of the Holy Spirit yet, but we'll get there. Basically, this episode is about the love of money and toxic money mindsets. I've tried to record this twice and this is the third time. The first two times, again, disruptions. I was just so frustrated. I just left for class. I'm like, you know what, I'm not doing this right now. So I'm back from class and I'm much better. I listened to some praise music. Not worship, praise. I didn't even know there's like a proper difference. You know, you shall worship God even with hype songs. But either way, I just listened to some upbeat Christian music and it really just lightened my mood. I read the Bible. The part of the Bible I'm reading right now is the Psalms. And the particular part of the Psalms I'm reading, I'm at Psalms 100. I believe Psalms 100 I was reading this morning. That was just, it was a Psalms of praise. So, you know, it's just very, it was very uplifting. We are discussing the love of money and toxic money mindsets. All right, let's start off with the fact that God is not against wealth. I think we know that. I don't think we are still in that stage of Christianity. Do you know there was a season of Christianity? I think this is before our time anyway, maybe our parents' time or grandparents' time, where it was almost like, oh, if you want to be a really good Christian, you know, you can't have money. They would say, you know, they would quote Matthew 19:24, and then they'll say, oh, you know, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And, you know, they would quote these things. People would say these things to almost speak against wealth and associate wealth with worldliness or, you know, sin, when realistically, the owners of wealth should be believers. Now, I don't know if you've listened to Fortune's episode. If you haven't, then you should be sure to listen to that. But there she discusses the fact that wealth is God's. God owns wealth. In fact, God gives us in Deuteronomy, God tells us that he gives us the power to earn wealth. I believe Deuteronomy 8, that God gives us the power to make wealth. So the same God that gives us the power to make wealth, why would he condemn wealth? Why would he condemn abundance? My God is a God of abundance. So why would poverty, why would a lifestyle that is below standard, why would that glorify God? How would someone see the glory of God, the blessings of God upon your life when you are living below the standard of the average person in society? But, you know, I'm not going to dwell into that too much because I'm pretty sure almost every single person listening to this podcast desires to be a person of wealth. The issue is not wanting to be a successful woman, man. The issue is your mindset towards wealth, your mindset towards money. I don't know if I'm going to make this a list because I don't even know if I have a list, but I'm just going to discuss some toxic money mindset, and this is based on what I've seen. And I'll be honest, based on what I have also experienced. I told you guys, some of these things I'm going to discuss, I have experienced them. I'm not perfect, you know. There was a season I was reading a book a few years back. I was reading a book by, it's called Spirit Driven Success. I forgot the author. If I remember, I'll put it in the Spirit Driven Success, an excellent book. And she's basically an entrepreneur. She started off as a young person living outside of her car, dead broke, had no money, started a business, became successful, started training other people in either business or in, you know, creating wealth. She's a Christian, she's a believer, but she was also training, you know, people of the world would come to her. That's how good she was. People didn't say, oh, because she's a Christian, I'm not going to come to her seminars. And she was very good at teaching, you know, the principles of tithing, of offering, of giving, of sowing seeds, of, you know, investing. She explained those things very, very well. Now, the issue came about when it kind of grew the desire in me to make money. Part of the desire was also to give, because at that time we had a lot of church projects and things we had to do in the church. So I've always had the mindset of, even if I do make money and, you know, I become stupidly rich or whatever, I always want to sow into the church. I see, you know, my dad is a pastor, obviously, and I see the benefits of sowing seeds into the kingdom of God. I know that one of the major purposes of me having money is kingdom advancement. I know that. I know tithing. I know these principles. That's why even with my pocket money, I've always had the principle of tithing and I always give my offering. That one is fine. But the desire to make wealth became almost uncontrollable. And you know, that's why they have the verse, the love of money is the root of all evil. That has been misquoted so many times where people would say money is the root of all evil. No, money itself is not the root of all evil. If it was the root of all evil, God wouldn't say that he will give us the power to make wealth. Money is not the root of all evil, but love of money is the root of all evil. People that love money can do anything to anyone to get money. That's the danger. And I wouldn't say I loved money. I do know that if I continued down that path, I would eventually enter into the love of money. When you love money, you would develop a sense of ownership over your money. And the first money mindset that I would say is very toxic is believing that your money is yours. Your money is not yours. The God who gave you the power to make that money owns your money. You are simply a channel that he's using to keep his money. But he's your source. And that's why when they say, you know, give your tithe, give your offering, and people are being stingy, but God is saying, I gave you this money. Why are you still withholding this money from me? Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, meaning that part of honoring God is through wealth. So many people have the belief of, if I'm working hard in church, if I'm a good person, if I obey the Ten Commandments, if I'm consistent with my prayer time, I'm good. But when it comes to money, nah. I can serve God in all other aspects, but not through wealth. God doesn't need my money. God isn't looking for your money, that's true. What he wants is, will you honor me with this thing you value so much, will you still honor me with this? That's why Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will be not enough room to store it. So not only is God giving the instruction of bringing tithe into his storehouse, he's even saying it is attached with a blessing. But God, he doesn't have to. God does not have to do that. He's God. He's supreme over all. He chooses what he does the way he wants to do it. But for the fact that God is attaching a blessing, this is the second time we're seeing this. We saw this in Proverbs 3:9-10. We're seeing this again in Malachi 3:10. Oh, there's 3:10. We're seeing this in two verses where God is saying, bring back what I have blessed you, just a portion, not everything, just a portion of what I've blessed you, and I will bless you furthermore. I will bless you even more. So you withholding your blessings, or you withholding your tithe or your offering from God, you are withholding your own blessing. God is not losing here. Here, it's not God that's losing out. At the end of the day, as we just said, it's not that God needs your physical money. At the end of the day, it's people that are benefiting from this money, his people. But God still sees it. Because the same way that Matthew said, you know, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me food. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me. I was naked, you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And then they said, you know, God, when did this happen? This is in Matthew 25:42-45. And then he said, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of my brothers and sisters, you are refusing help from me. So don't think because you're giving it to your pastor, you're giving it to charity, you're giving it to people in church, you're giving it out to people, you've almost devalued its worth in the kingdom of God. That is what God recognizes. He recognizes when you're giving money to the church and you're building his house, he recognizes that. You may see it as, they're using us to fund the church project, but he's seen it as, you're using it to build my house. It's not just pastors' projects you're using it to build. You're using it to build my temple. And God honors that. That's why it can be funny when people who complain about, you know, they never have enough money and they believe that because they don't have enough money, they don't give to God. No, you don't give to God. That's why you never have enough money. Many people, I'm going to say that again, many people have the mindset of, oh, I don't have enough money. That's why I can't give to God. No, you don't give to God. That's why you never have enough money. Your money will forever leave your hands as if water is pouring through them. Because the money, the 10% only you're supposed to give to God, you refuse. So he's not going to bless that 100. Whereas that 10% that you're giving to God is what you use as your seed to bless the other 90%. And you're withholding your blessing because of your stinginess. So that's number one, your money is not yours. Number two, and I mentioned this briefly before, the love of money is the root of all evil. God's intention is for you to master money, or not for money to master you. I got that from my dad. My dad has used that phrase before, that if money is mastering you, you become a slave to money. When God's intention is for you to master money, you control money. You don't allow money to control you. You don't allow the love of money or desire for money to control your actions or to make you do things that you wouldn't normally do if it wasn't for the sake of money. Money is a good tool, but a bad master. Now, one thing I see with people, and especially with young people, is we allow our desire for things, for material things, control our pocket, control our spending habits. We don't have the mindset of thinking about the future. We just want to know what we can spend now, how we can better our lives now, how we can buy the greatest things, look the best for a season of our life that is very temporary. Now, I'm not saying that that means you shouldn't enjoy life and you shouldn't spend, you know, God blessed people with money because he intended for them to enjoy wealth. The word of God says that if you are willing and obedient, you eat the good things of the land. And I love the way Kenneth Hagin put it. He said, you know, you also drive the good of the land. You also wear the good of the land. You also live in the good of the land. God wants the best for his people. Why? We're a royal priesthood. We're a peculiar people. We are kings. We are priests. God wants the best for his children. But sometimes our desire for good things can push us to make very silly and rash decisions. Many of us don't know how to save. We believe, you know, my dad's giving me pocket money. Next month, I'm going to get money again. What's the point of saving? Saving is a culture. You may not even need something specific to save towards, although it's good to have a goal because it will give you more of a desire, more of discipline. But saving is a culture. And it's the first step to wealth. And then the second step is investment. I learned this from watching videos and the book that Fortune mentioned, which is Money Won't Make You Rich by Sunday Adelaja, where he talks about the principles of money. Saving is a very important culture in building wealth. But it's the first step. Investing it in something is the second step, especially if you're in Nigeria. I saw my Spotify Wrapped team that we're listened to across the countries, and I'm so glad. But I do not know that most people that listen are from Nigeria, and you guys know how the economy is right now. You saving your money in Naira and do nothing with it, it's just going to be depreciating. It's just going to be, you know, wasting away in the bank. By the time you come back in a couple of years' time, what you started with is less than what you put in. So there's no point in just saving and leaving it there. Invest in something, in a business, in, you know, in land, in something that will bring forth more wealth. The problem with the love of money is that it will never satisfy. That's the third thing. Money will never satisfy. You think that if I get just that 1 million naira, if I get 50 million naira, if I get 100 million naira, why do you think businessmen and women are still working? Jeff Bezos is still working. Why is Elon Musk still working? Because there is no amount of wealth you will ever accumulate that will satisfy. Now, the thing is, people unknowingly make money a god over your life, over their life. And the word of God, Matthew 6:24, says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And I mentioned that before. It's either two ways. You master money or you allow money to master you. And when money becomes your master, money becomes your God. You will forever serve and be a servant to money. You will forever toil day and night, endlessly, tirelessly, making money and still feel empty inside. Because the one who glorifies wealth and possessions and material things, Satan, will never satisfy you. Now, you may not see it as Satan. You may believe that, you know, I just want this bone straight. I just want this watch. I just want this car. Once I get that, I'll be satisfied. I promise you. Once you get that car, the next car, in the next 2 years, that car will become old and you are hungering, desiring the next car. Once you get that bone straight, you realize, oh, you know, you want this in another color. You want this shoe. You want this bag. You want that new phone. I think I've mentioned this before, like iPhone people that change their iPhone every year, hats off to you, because they will tweak one or two things, put hundreds of thousands of naira on top. You're now paying 1.2 million, 1.5 million for a phone. And then you do that every single year. When does it end? No judgment. If you can afford that, that's great. But I'm just saying the cycle, I'm just trying to explain the cycle of money will never satisfy. And it's sad. There are some people who are in environments where they feel unloved, they feel unhappy, they know there's an emptiness and they don't know how to fill it, and that's why they use money. And you're realizing that you keep spending this money, you keep doing these things, you keep trying to keep up with this lifestyle that is not even your desire. You're just trying to fit in with people or trying to, you know, live that socialite lifestyle, the fake life, and you're realizing it's creating an empty hole in you. Then you need to reevaluate who your God is. You may not say it. No one's going to say, I worship money. Unless you're like a Satanist or whatever. No Christian will say, I worship money. But if you are in that position, indirectly, you are worshiping money. Money is your idol. And you can't have two masters. It's impossible. So automatically, if you are a Christian who serves money, you're not a Christian. Or let me say you're a struggling Christian. Let me not go too far. Maybe you're a struggling Christian. But you can't serve God with all your heart and still give your heart to money. It's not possible. And money will always demand so much from you. If you are realizing that you are toiling, you are working, you are stretching yourself thin, and what you are bringing forth is not worth what you are sowing, then there is a problem. If you are working, you've been in a business for years, you've been doing something for years, you don't know why, you don't know how, you've prayed, you've gone through all the marketing strategies and you're not making it. God isn't in that. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. The blessings of the Lord brings wealth. The Lord. If your wealth, if this thing you're doing is of God, you shouldn't have to kill yourself over it. If you are, then it's not of God. That mindset will only drive you to the love of money. It will make money your solace, your safe place, your hope. And money as your hope will fail you. Money as your source of comfort, as your source of safety will fail you. God can use money to bless you, but at the end of the day, God must be your ultimate source. If you're looking to money, it's the wrong thing. God, only God, will give you the capacity to make wealth, wealth that is from Him, that will bless you, bless lives. The intention is for God to bless you so that you can bless lives. When God blessed Abraham in Genesis 22, 17 to 18, He says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemy, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So through Abraham's obedience, he was blessed, and his blessing caused the blessing of his descendants. When God blesses you, He blesses you so that you have a greater capacity to bless others. So is that not a better deal then? Remaining where you are. Poverty does not glorify God. And that's the reason that the Bible does not celebrate poverty. In fact, the Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. God should be glorified through your life, through your demeanor, through the way you dress, through the way you speak, through the way you act, through the way you handle your finances. People should see that this is a woman of God because she's wise with her money. She doesn't spend anyhow. She knows how to save. She knows how to invest. She knows how to give to people, to the church. She knows how to start businesses. That glorifies God. Feeding off your parents doesn't glorify God. Using their money for greater things glorifies God. And I'm saying that because I also had the mindset of, let me start this business because, you know, once my parents are done paying my school fees, I'll be able to stand on my own, da 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 da. But why am I making it such a toxic thing of, I have to be independent, I can't lean on anyone? It doesn't have to be toxic. You can lean on the people that gave birth to you, the people that God has put on this earth to take care of you, to nurture you. It's okay. And it's also good to know and to start developing yourself in your finances, to start saving, to start investing. That business that He has put in your heart for the longest time that you have refused to start. but he wants to use that to give you financial freedom. He may even want to use that to not just bless you, but bless your family. Maybe God wants to use you to vindicate them. Maybe he wants to use you as a channel to bless them. And that's why you guys should, you know, stay tuned for the episode we're going to have with Fortunes about business, you know, starting up your business, establishing it, growing your business, etc. I'm really excited for that episode. Fellow entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, people that just like hearing about business, just, you know, keep up, you know, mark your calendars. I don't know when it's going to be, Shah, but it's part of the Level Up series. So, yeah. But I pray this episode has been a blessing to you. I pray this episode has been a blessing to you. I pray you've learned something. I pray that it's kind of adjusted your mindset towards money. Oh, there's something I want to mention as well about tithing. Tithing is more than just giving God because he expects you to. And I think I mentioned this briefly, but tithing actually protects your wealth. There is this being that is known as the devourer. So you know how we read Malachi 3:10? If we're going to continue from there, we have that is Malachi 3:11. So we read 10. I'm going to start again from 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. 11. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So something I just want to say about tithing, because I know this can be a controversy. I am fully for tithing. You know, I know some people are like, you know, you don't have to tithe at a meal. And I'm not forcing anybody, but just my perspective. And from this biblical perspective, I am fully for tithing. Now, is tithing everything? No, because Jesus also says, you know, he was condemning the Pharisees. He was coming against the Pharisees for, you know, their tithing, but they don't love. They don't show love. They're not just, they care just about the tithing, but they do not show the characteristics of believers. But Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out gnats but swallow a camel. What God is saying is, or Jesus is saying here is, tithe is not the only thing. It's not the hugest, the most massive thing. In fact, you know, love your neighbor, show mercy, be faithful, be just. And one thing that is highlighted in Malachi is the fact that there is a protection over your business, your source, whatever channel God is using. God is your source, but whatever channel is using your business, your career, your job, you know, the person giving you money, your parents, God will protect your source, your channel, as long as you continue giving back to him, acknowledging the fact that he's the source of your wealth, that he blessed you, and therefore you give your tenth to him to show acknowledgement of that. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say about tithing, because I know that's a huge controversial issue and I don't need controversy on this episode. All right, you can do more studies on that. And if you wanted to have a discussion about tithing, let me know. You could just message me. You can DM me. I am open to have a discussion that will not end up in an argument. That'll be great. So guys, I'll be with you guys next week for the next episode. Have an amazing day. Have an amazing week. Have an amazing month. Have an amazing year. Have an amazing 2023. Bye guys. See you next week.